You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I heard a gunshot that I knew was a gunshot and not a firecracker, so I looked up and I seen smoke. Then I seen a guy in a full army suit just shooting shots at people, and I seen a security guard running the store, and then I seen the guy go in army style, bent over, just shooting at people, and I heard him shooting at people, and then I saw three people laying down, and I didn't have a phone on me, so I was just screaming for somebody to call the police. And then he came out, he put the gun to his head, to his chin, then he dropped it, and he took off his bulletproof vest, and then he got on his hands and knees and put his hands behind his back, and then they arrested him.
May 16th, 2022, that's an eyewitness to the shooting that happened in Buffalo, New York over the weekend. 10 killed, 3 wounded by a white gunman who traveled several miles away to get to this store in a predominantly black neighborhood frequented by mostly black patrons. Most of the victims were black. It is being looked at as a racially motivated crime. Thank you again for joining us. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, and it will open up a page where you'll see previous podcasts that we put up on Rumble, and also you'll see where you push live and join us in studio right now. Over the next 2 hours, we're going to focus a lot of time and different angles on the Buffalo shooting. President Biden, of course, reacting to it on Sunday. Actually, it came in a speech he was making at the National Peace Officers Memorial Service on Capitol Hill. He said this was a lone gunman armed with weapons of war. I don't want to quibble over that phrase at this point. We'll come to that a little bit later. And then a hate-filled soul. That part clear. That part clear. And in fact, the Buffalo police commissioner said if that man had not been stopped and not given up at that point, he would have continued looking for more black Americans to kill. They had plans to continue going to another store, another location. Two of the victims were white. 11 of those shot were black. The attorney general said we are looking at this as a hate crime and an act of racially motivated violent extremism. And apparently he was live streaming it with a helmet cam at the time. So there's going to be new pressure upon internet, big tech. What are you doing to control this kind of stuff, this hate speech, and giving platforms for this kind of stuff to happen? It was up for a while before it was taken down. We have no room in this country for hate speech. We should have no room. Let me put it that way. Unfortunately, it is there. And there are those idiots that want to use and turn Second Amendment rights, which we all should be able to enjoy, just like First Amendment rights. But you cross a line with hate speech, and you cross a line, of course, when you use your Second Amendment rights to kill innocent people without any reason or cause, except for your hate. So I said we'll be spending more time on it, but I will also tell you, you want to hear the story about a hero at that grocery store over the weekend, a former police officer who was on the scene as a security guard and what he did. Also, there are reports from the Biden White House, at least the Assistant Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, that most doctors accept the fact that transitioning children in from one sex to another is okay and we're willing to help. Really? Where is the minister of truth? Why are you not demanding? That's a flat-out lie. We got Dr. Rick Layman joining us later on that issue. And, of course, how gas prices continue to go up. And we're told clearly the progressives are happy that you're suffering. They want you to suffer. Gas prices in California at $6.50 a gallon. And I got a report, same thing in Florida. Because they just want you to suffer. Well, we want you to enjoy the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Live streaming, rumble.com. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Who brought this kind of hate to our very close-knit Buffalo community. We will not tolerate this. We will stand tall against it. We will rebound against it. We will show how strong we are. And all the members of our police department, the sheriff's department, the FBI, the state police, will continue to fight hate on a daily basis.
We must all work together to address the hate that remains a stain on the soul of America. The hearts are heavy once again, but a resolve must never, ever waver.
That was the Buffalo Police Commissioner, followed by President Biden, and the remarks following that shooting at the grocery store in Buffalo, New York, primarily located in a predominant black neighborhood. The shooter knew that, apparently had scoped out what target he wanted, had traveled from several miles away, hours away even, and then was picking out a target, and then went in and armed with full body armor in addition to the weapon. And it was all a hate crime as being declared by investigators, and everything shows that that's exactly what it was, and they're digging more information on him. Now, reportedly, his parents are being cooperative. The FBI and others went to his home, and the parents are helping them whatever they want to find, letting them search anything. They are, at last report, let me see, there was an update that just crossed. Let me see if I can get this latest for you, see if it's changed anything. It doesn't appear to at this point. But it was definitely a situation where he intentionally went after black Americans. And he had apparently been posting his hate remarks on some of these channels devoted to hate crimes, racism. The problem is all of this gets labeled far right, which is understandable. But I would never hold those on the left responsible for the far left for some violence like this. And it's a point here where it has to break your heart. It has to break your heart in the sense that it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it's carried out simply because of someone who has a different color skin. This is going to fuel those again who say, oh, we got to have critical race theory teaching in all of our schools. No, you don't. That just divides us more. Look for things that bring us together. And the very interesting thing about this shooting on several different levels is the mayor of Buffalo, a little bit later when we hear from him, that how he looks at what is needed. Now, you know the storyline anytime there's a mass shooting. CNN had put up on one of their reports, it took us 3 minutes to list all the shootings where we've had mass shootings since the beginning of the year, and it's only May. Well, by mass shooting, they mean more than two. And most of them involve gangs and thugs. There was a shootout at a Houston flea market over the weekend, which left some dead and injured. And there was a shooting that took place in a church in California, Laguna Church. It was a church primarily attended and where worshipers were Asian. And the shooter apparently also had hate for that particular race. That's still being tried. They're trying to sort that one out. But anytime we begin to try to preach and teach, be they kids or adults, that it's okay to hate someone because of their color, or you can't trust them because of their color, or because of their color, they're not as smart as you are. When you go down that road, you open up all of these doors. And it leads to what we just saw. The governor of New York made that point as well. But let me go back to this issue that obviously whenever something like this happens, immediately, and as you heard Biden in his remark, as I was quoting a moment ago, and he was saying that this is a shooter, a lone gunman armed with weapons of war. Again, they're taking, quote, assault rifle, calling it a weapon of war. It's not an automatic firing weapon. No soldier, if they can get anything better, is going to go into battle with that weapon. But that aside, Mayor Brown of Buffalo, if anyone could suddenly be calling out for more and more and more stricter gun control laws, that's not what the mayor is doing. Listen.
I would like to see sensible gun control. I would like to see ending hate speech on the internet.
He said, I want sensible gun control, and I want to end hate speech on the internet. He said, sensible gun control. That's a far cry from what many on the left are going to say because they want to dismantle the Second Amendment. But his other point, to end hate speech on the internet. The governor of New York, Governor Hochul, made that point also.
But mark my words, we'll be aggressive in our pursuit of anyone who subscribes the ideals professed by other white supremacists, and how there's a feeding frenzy on social media platforms where hate festers more hate. That has to stop. These outlets must be more vigilant in monitoring social media content. And certainly the fact that this act of barbarism, this execution of innocent human beings could be live streamed on social media platforms and not taken down within a second says to me that there is a responsibility out there, and we're going to continue to work on this and make sure that those who provide these platforms have a moral and ethical and I hope to have a legal responsibility to ensure that such hate cannot populate these sites, because this is the result.
It is the result. This is the small flame that sets a forest fire spreading across thousands of acres. When you inflame hate, especially racial animus, based on color of skin, religion, race itself, gender, sexual preference even, you don't do anything to improve this country. You divide us more and more. This program, I've told many people, they think, you know, so you've got a talk show. It's a conservative talk show, right? I said, well, it is conservative leaning, but I also incorporate a lot of independent views and even some liberal views. And I try to give you facts and give you material support what I tell you, as opposed to just opinion. But primarily, this program is 100% patriotic. I don't care what your political stripe is, your race, your color, your origin, even your sexual preference. If you are for this country and what we stand for, then this program is for you. If you're against all of that, this program is still for you. So it's kind of like you suddenly got thrown into church and you didn't want to be there and you're going to have to listen. Oh, no, you can always change the channel, can't you? That's fine. But more and more are coming around and listening, and I appreciate it. Not only that, but sharing with friends. I appreciate every time you share with your friends, your neighbors, links to this program, or watch it while we live stream at rumble.com, or while we continue to cover much more than just politics. In fact, before we wrap up this hour, you're going to be hearing from Dr. Lehman, because the Biden administration wants you to believe that most doctors endorse gender transition care for kids. Now, that's a flat-out lie, and that also is another case where we're trying to divide our country. There was a story that came out of the tragedy in Buffalo and the case actually in the church in Laguna. In the church at Laguna, the shooter got in and started opening fire, and when he stopped to reload, a former pastor who was there visiting had been to Taiwan, had come back to visit his church. This is after the church service is over. Folks gather for a luncheon they have afterwards, and they're all posing, take pictures with the pastor who had returned. And that's when the gunman came in and started shooting. Well, people start ducking and so forth, and then when he stopped to reload, the visiting pastor grabbed a chair and hit him with it, and numerous members of the congregation then jumped on him, held him down, and tied him up with extension cords and held him for police to get there. That takes a heroic case. They had no weapons. They had nothing in hand but a chair. But they were not just going to sit there and let him pick them off. And then you have the case that happened in Buffalo, where he goes in and he's determined to kill as many black people as he can. He ends up shooting two white people. So a total of 13 shot, 10 fatally. Most of the fatalities are blacks, the black Americans and citizens of that area. But one who was shot was Aaron Salter, a retired Buffalo police officer working there as a security guard. Mayor Brown said this man was a hero.
He is someone that is very well respected by members of the Buffalo Police Department, worked at the top supermarket for several years in retirement as a security officer, and did engage the shooter, did exchange gunfire with the shooter, but the shooter was wearing body armor and a tactical helmet and was able to withstand that and killed Lieutenant Salter, who is a hero, who tried to protect people in the store, tried to save lives, and in the process lost his own life.
Lost his own life. He hit the gunman several times, but again, he had body armor on. And after being hit two times or more, the gunman turned toward him and killed the former officer. There is no doubt, though, that he saved lives by distracting, shooting at him, trying to change the scenario so he'd realize that, hey, I'm under attack as well. And others got a chance to get away. Now, even some of those who were there and some who go to the store often were being asked, what do you think about happening? And, you know, reaction varies. But one of them reacted, said, this is going to be upsetting to some people who are all about more gun control, more gun control. One Buffalo, New York resident said, who lived there, if more people were armed and knew what they were doing with the gun, because it's not the gun, it's the person with the gun that doesn't know how to act, then we could have stopped him faster. I agree. Coming up, what they're trying to teach doctors right now, which in turn will fall down on top of your children. Stand by. Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, open up on one word, Larry Connors USA, in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to a page where we are posting numerous previous podcasts on Rumble, and find the one that says live, punch it, and you're in the studio. Glad to have you. Let your friends and family know. Subscribe. Many of you, several hundred of you subscribed to our YouTube platform. We got blown off of there because they didn't like what we were saying. You need to change that subscription over to rumble.com now so you'll be able to get these. Let your friends and family know it. I was telling you earlier in the first segment that it appeared that there might be some additional breaking news about one of the weekend shootings. This might be a repeat of something that had been out earlier. It's kind of hard sometimes to follow it live as it breaks, but they have now identified the 68-year-old man who's behind the shooting in the Laguna Woods, California church. I'm not going to give his name. He's from Las Vegas, Nevada. I didn't name the 18-year-old involved in the other thing. I have kind of a difficult line here sometimes, and I really prefer not to give names and give these guys some of the attention they might want. There will come a time that I might have to, but for now, I'll give you the age, and that's it. I'm not going to give them any additional attention. In this case, what they're saying is identifying him that he was from Las Vegas, and he traveled to Laguna. This is a church where most of the members of the congregation, mostly elderly, retired Taiwanese immigrants, average age of 80. He claimed that he had been to the church before. They welcomed him in. No one remembered seeing him, but he came in anyway and then opened fire later. He did kill one, leave five others injured, but the visiting pastor grabbed a chair and knocked him down. Others had grabbed him. All right, here's what I mentioned in going to the break about what's going to fall down on you, upon your children. A medical textbook, the world's best-selling medical textbook, has removed the definition of gender dysphoria from its website, because the Florida Department of Health cited it in a recent guidance advising against gender transitions for children and adults. But now the medical textbook has been stripped of gender dysphoria definition after being cited by Florida. they want it back in the sense that they want to be able to teach it to some extent. New guidance from the Health and Human Services says gender-affirming care includes social affirmation at any age, puberty blockers during puberty, hormone therapy starting during early adolescence, irreversible surgery, quote, typically used in adulthood or case-by-case evidence. Now, against that backdrop, at least 39 of America's 50 most prestigious medical colleges and universities are at this time have some form of mandatory student training or coursework on ideas related to critical race theory. They're going there to learn science, they're going there to learn medicine, and you're going to preoccupy them in time with critical race theory? Critical race theory related ideas have apparently been noted by criticalrace.org's extensive database that has mandatory programs at 230 colleges and universities, and as I just said, 39 of the 50 most prestigious medical colleges and universities. And Rachel Levine, Assistant Secretary for Health, insists there is no argument. There's no argument among doctors about gender-affirming care in the sense of if a child wants to be transitioned, they have no problem with it. The AMA basically endorses it. It does. American Pediatrics also on board. Why? Well, there's a report that also goes with it that says many doctors that are against it, they're in hiding. They're afraid to come out because of woke culture might cost them their job. But others are not afraid to speak out. That brings me to my guest coming up in the next segment, Dr. Rick Lehman. Stand by, please. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com, and you can subscribe. I suggest you do so. It's absolutely free. You can also subscribe to LarryConnorsUSA.com for podcasts to be delivered immediately to you, so you won't miss a single program. My guest is Dr. Rick Lehman, founder of U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you with us again, Doctor.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Well, I also want to always inform the audience. I'm always being transparent, and Rick and I are good friends. He's also been my surgeon on a couple of different operations, and you're not specializing in pediatric care, but you see a lot of teens as they're going through changes in life, puberty and so forth, and reference sports and other things. So let's. I want to begin on several fronts we've got here. First of all, I was telling the audience a moment ago, and I know you're aware of it, that at least 39 of the 50 most prestigious medical colleges and universities are now having would-be doctors focus time and attention and study on critical race theory. Your reaction?
That's correct. Well, you know, first of all, I think that's correct. But I think doctors in general are pretty fair, and I think doctors are pretty honest, i.e., you know, we try to treat all patients equally, and we don't really see a whole lot of color, and I'm speaking for myself and hopefully most doctors in our practice. So I think that's a little excessive to tell doctors that they should treat people fairly and people equally. So to me,
I don't get spending time when they're in med school on this kind of stuff.
Well, again, I think that's excessive. And, the Hippocratic Oath is you do no harm. And again, we treat people, I think, equally. So to me, that is probably a little bit of a waste of an agenda.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, the other issue coming out of Assistant Secretary for Health Rachel Levine's assertion, quote, there, quote, is no argument. There's no argument about gender-affirming care when it comes to children and adolescents if they're having gender dysphoria. Your reaction?
Well, again, this is such a hot topic. It's such a political topic, but I don't see it at all. I think to say there's no question that everybody believes that we should be telling kids that they can be either gender and that we should be promoting this at a very young age is wrong. First of all, my personal opinion is if somebody says, hey, I want to be a different gender, I have no problem with that. Do what you got to do. But I don't think we should be saying every medical provider is on board of puberty, halting drugs, and telling kids that are, let's say, 10 and under, that they could be any sex that they want to be, and counseling them on this. I think if they come to the conclusion that they are a different gender, that's fine. But I think to say all medical health care are on board for this is wrong.
Well, the problem I have with that statement is that it suggests that maybe more than suggest, it's almost encouraging if you suspect a child, maybe having some problem, but then gender transition might be the solution.
Well, and again, if you look at other countries and other socialist countries, Finland, Sweden, et cetera, no one believes this. This is we've gone over the edge. We've become maybe too woke. And I don't believe that the answer to every problem is gender reassignment surgery or gender reassignment drugs. And again, I think at 10 years old or 8 years old or 11 years old, it's too young to make a decision for the rest of your life that you're the wrong sex. Now, that decision may come, but let that decision come when you're mature enough to make it.
I'm looking at a quote from Dr. William Malone, Idaho-based assistant clinical professor of endocrinology, and he's part of an international group of 100 clinicians and researchers concerned about what they call, quote, the lack of quality evidence for use of hormonal and surgical interventions as first-line treatment for young people with gender dysphoria. In other words, if we just say, this is all acceptable, just rush for, they don't even put any curbs in, any guardrails to say, as you were suggesting, maybe that's not really the route you need to go. Let's don't rush into this thing.
Well, again, maybe we should do some psychotherapy. Maybe we should do some analysis, look at the child's home situation, their school situation, and look at other issues before we just rush into giving them puberty limiting drugs and then a surgery. So, again, maybe they're depressed. Maybe there's a lot of other reasons. And if you look at the doctor's quote, the doctor's 100% right. I mean, he has said, look, this shouldn't be first line of treatment. And, again, are you really mature enough to make this? I mean, Dr. Maloney is not making this decision in a 10-year-old. Make it in a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old because you're making a decision that there's no going back on. And some of these countries are seeing high incidences of people coming back saying, well, maybe I really didn't want to be, switching genders.
Yeah, and that's a big point as well, because then they definitely have a new issue that concerns them. But the other part of the story is that there are more doctors out there. When she says there's no argument, that's because many doctors are silent or in hiding. They fear speaking out against Rachel Levine, the first transgender to be in the Health and Human Services Department and heading up this position.
Well, and again, I think there's a lot of things physicians are afraid to come out and state their opinions on. And it's because you do get censored, or your board can send you a public reprimand or do something. And we saw this in the ivermectin. You couldn't even come out with an opinion for some of these drugs. Whether your opinion was right or wrong didn't make any difference. So, again, I think doctors are very afraid to talk about gender reassignment or any of these CRT or any of these things for fear that they're censored or their licensure is going to be at stake. So Rachel Levine, the highest ranking transgender in the administration ever, has come out and said all doctors are aligned. Well, all doctors aren't aligned on anything.
That I can understand. I mean, it's kind of like for years I was told everybody when I was a TV news anchor for decades, everybody said, you know, all you guys over there, you're all alike, you're all liberal. I said, actually, and conspiracy theories that we're all operated and listening to one source and everything. I said, no, actually, we're not that organized. We could never be all in one agreement. The other part, and since specifically with you, since you deal with a lot of those in playing sports and injuries and so forth, we've talked about this before about transgenders who want to, a man wants to become a female so he, she can compete. There's a survey that came out just the other day in battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and 56% supported laws to protect women's sports K-12 through collegiate levels.
And I think that just makes common sense to most people, right? I mean, and we saw this with Leah Thomas in the University of Pennsylvania swimmer and the NCAAs. And it just makes sense in certain sports that females are not going to be able to compete with males. And whether you're genetically a female or genetically a male, even after gender reassignment, you're still that in terms of an athlete, right? You didn't get shorter, you didn't get weaker, you didn't get slower. So I think to say that somebody who's a male is going to be able to compete fairly with everybody who's really a female, and again, forget the surgery, you're genetically born a certain way, then that's just illogical. And I think we have to do something about this. And again, I always go back to the same thing. If you have a daughter and she's worked very, very hard to make the Olympic team, and that one spot is taken by a male who now says she's a female, you're going to be pretty upset about that. And we're going to see that. And I think that in wrestling and some of these sports, you just can't compete. Go ahead, Larry.
I think it's already beginning to show up. One other quick thing, we've heard about the baby formula shortage. And I know you don't deal with pediatrics on that level, but there's also a report out of General Electric that medical dye coming out of a production plant in Shanghai, China, is in the last 30 seconds that there's going to be a shortage of materials, dye, and so forth to do MRIs and so forth going forward, which I know you do as well.
Right. IVP dye, all these dyes, all these contrasts are going to have a huge supply chain shortage, and you're not going to be able to do the studies. And it's a crime to say, hey, whether we're sending the baby formula to the border or not, it's a crime to say, hey, I can't, you know, feed my baby. That is a scary thing. And I think to say just breastfeed is a ridiculous comment, because a lot of people can't and don't have the ability. So to be honest with you, this is going to be a big impact on medical facilities, this IVP dye contrast problem.
All right. Dr. Rick Layman, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Larry, thank you.
You bet. Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. There's a call for, why don't we police closer and document the amount of fentanyl coming into the country? Good question. Stand by. If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests, so plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, town and country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch. Only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. We were just talking with Dr. Rick Layman, and we were discussing briefly the baby formula shortage and so forth. He said it's going to become a much, much bigger deal. He said just for some of those who are out there saying, well, mom should be breastfeeding. Well, not every mother can. And in many cases, even if she could, the baby won't accept or can't tolerate. So it's not that simple. So the question got asked to Transportation Secretary Buttigieg over the weekend on CBS Face the Nation about what's going to be done about this baby formula shortage. Now, Buttigieg and his partner, another man, have adopted two children. And remember, he took that time off when we were in the middle of the supply chain crisis starting. He was missing in action. Keep that in mind. As he goes on to say, well, yeah, it's very personal for us, too. We've got 2 9-month-old children, so baby formula is a very big part of our lives. But then he goes on to say, it's not really the government's responsibility to manufacture formula. Well, that's true. And he said the government doesn't make the formula. That's true. The government does oversee it, and apparently because of that, and some of the formula coming in, they had questions with some of the formula in the plants. We want formula to be safe for the children. But they saw all of this coming, and they didn't really do anything about it. Well, let me put it this way. They should have seen it all coming. If you've got a supply chain issue with where we are now with cars and chips for your car, do you not think at some point it's going to involve human beings, especially babies? Ah, but we are sending baby formula to the border for illegals coming across. The government is apparently stockpiling and doing that. So the government is still involved. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. But I mentioned the fentanyl concern. A group called Families Against Fentanyl is asking the Biden administration, you need to start tracking fentanyl poisoning and overdose deaths, including suspected overdose deaths, the same way you track COVID-19. Yeah, that's a good idea. And they want to see data published on the number of times that a life-saving medication did reverse the effects of fentanyl poisoning. One of those speaking on behalf of this group said the danger here is unbelievable. The cost of manufacture, super cheap. We're trying to stop the fentanyl poisoning of Americans. We're trying to have influence over the CDC to derive data in real time to see exactly what's happening. This fentanyl has become the number one killer of 18 to 45-year-olds, and the demographic is widening. Fentanyl, of course, is deadly even in small amounts. Often they've been lacing it into heroin, meth, marijuana in Mexico and other places because it gives you a little bit bigger boost in high, assuming you survive it. And maybe survive once, but then you might not the next, or it might not be mixed exactly the same way. They're constantly mixing other stuff with it, not only for the high, but to increase the weight value and make it look bigger. I in the past, did a piece on cocaine. We're talking about back in the 90s, and how cocaine was being often stomped on with things like foot powder. People think they're snorting cocaine. They're snorting 80% foot powder. And what we have here is, obviously, folks are getting the fentanyl from illegal places because it's not prescribed for them. Overdose deaths had doubled in 30 states over the past 2 years. 2 years. Doubled in 30 states. 100,000 ODs between May 2020 and April 2021. We're already looking at going higher. Texas the other day sees enough fentanyl to kill 200 million this year. That was in one seizure. Picture this. Picture this. You go to the restaurant of your choice, coffee shop, whatever. Those little bags, those little packets of sugar or whatever you want, sugar substitute on the table. One packet filled with fentanyl instead of sugar or sugar substitute. One packet. One packet would be enough to kill minimum 10,000 people. And that is a bare minimum. So this group is insisting, why don't we start getting more about this and also do more education in schools? Great point. Instead of spending time on critical race theory, trying to teach kids to hate each other or judge each other based on color, why don't you deal with what they're dealing with out in the street and what they're really concerned about is, can I get this drug? Can I use it? Should I use it? My friends did it. And all the pressure, peer pressure that happens there that leads to death and heartbreak for hundreds of thousands of families. Track it the way you did the COVID-19 deaths. Makes sense to me, and I'll bet it does to you. But I don't know what makes sense of this administration other than to blame it on Trump or something. It's not our job, not our job. I'm washing our hands of it like Pontius Pilate. I didn't do it. I'm not responsible. We're going to get into that also in the next hour, by the way, how the progressives have basically taken over everything, and we'll continue next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.